You're listening to Trek FM.
Want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners' discussion group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field, and we look forward to seeing you there.
This is Steve Sansweet of Rancho Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the 602 Club.
Hello and welcome to TFM's local watering hole. So excited to be back. And we've got a great show coming up for you today. I'm really excited for what we're going to talk about. Rye, how's it going, man?
Doing well. Excited to talk about this franchise again in a movie that was a surprise last year, year before. And yeah, I'm pumped to be back podcasting again. So.
Yeah, man, I'm just glad you weren't accidentally or not accidentally, but you know, you just weren't abducted because you want to fight with an alien.
Yeah.
So it's great that you're here, but we're going to be diving back into the Predator franchise with the animated film Killer of Killers that was over there on Hulu, came out last year, as Rye said. Of course, thanks everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. It means a lot to us that you'd spend your time here in the 602 Club. Of course, you can find us all over social media. If you're over on X Twitter, we're at the 602 Club. We're on Instagram at the 602 Club TFM. You can also, of course, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM with the entire network. You can also subscribe to the show so you'll get all the episodes as soon as they come out, wherever you get your podcasts. Reviews, of course, are really appreciated because they help people find the show and you know, let people know, hey, this is a show worth listening to. And of course, you can find us online at our brand new website at tfm.fan. So, Rye, I wanted to ask you, because we've talked a little bit about this because we talked about Badlands together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for you in this franchise, like, you know, especially when this came out on Hulu, was this something where with your Predator fandom, you were like, oh, I've got to watch this right away? Or was this more like one of those things where, oh, I'll see what people say about it. And if it's like getting good word of mouth, I'll jump in.
Yeah, I remember when it came out. I'm trying to look like when, like what day it came out. I'm trying to remember like, yeah, premiered June 6th on digital. Yeah, so I just, like, heard about it, like, via, like, social media. Like, I got people that I follow, a couple podcasts, and they're like, here's a new movie that's coming out this week. And it was Predator Killer Killers. And at the time, I had not seen a single Predator movie. But I was like, you know what? Like, I had time on like a Friday probably in the morning where I was just, it wasn't working, and I was like, you know what, I'll just throw this on, you know, take an hour and 20 minutes to watch it. And I was like, then I'll if I like it, then I'll see if I should go through the rest of the Predator franchise, or at least some of the key ones. And yeah, I ended up very much enjoying it and then went through Predator. So what about you? Did you didn't see it when it came out? You just watched it for the first time, correct?
Yeah, so you know, I saw the original Predator movie here for the 602 Club, so you can find that in the back catalog there, and we discussed that, had a lot of fun doing it. But you know, it the franchise wasn't one where I then went and watched the rest of them. And so when this came out, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that they're doing an animated movie. Interesting. I wonder if it's good. And it's been one of those things where I've heard other friends talk about it. I've seen their, you know, ratings on Letterboxd, and I thought I should go in and probably check this out, especially, you know, after our experience with Badlands and me really, really enjoying that. And of course, what Dan Trachtenberg had done with that. Thought, well, you know, this is definitely something that would be worth, you know, checking out. Yeah. And I'm definitely, you know, it's one of those things where I don't want to give it away, but I am glad that I went and actually watched this because, you know, one of the things that I think about this film specifically is that you can and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but it's like Trachtenberg has a very specific idea of where he's going to go mm-hmm. with the Predator franchise, yeah. and it's all here in many ways. You know, if you watched this, I think you were kind of set for where he was going to go mm-hmm. with Badlands. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. we'll get into that more later, but I think that was the most interesting thing in retrospect watching this. Mm-hmm. But this is an animated movie.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, adult animation is something to which I think, you know, a lot of people are familiar with. You know, of course, you know, The Simpsons, I think, really brought the idea of animation for adults to life, you know, and we've just continued to have, you know, I mean, Fox still has animation domination, mm-hmm. you know, on like Sundays yeah. or whatever, yeah. and they've continued to do animated shows. Of course, Star Wars got into the animation game with the Clone Wars, and then all the shows that have, you know, continued to come out up till now with Maul. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen other adult animation like Invincible and those type of things. I mean, mm-hmm. so animation for adults is nothing new. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you then, going into this, what did you think of the idea of doing an animated Predator movie? And what do you think of the choice of animation style that they utilize here?
Yeah, so I have always been a firm believer in like we always get animated movies and then we get live action versions of these animated movies or like a live action continuation of the story or whatever it is. I am a firm believer in like, let's kill the live action thing, like remakes. And let's, if you're going to remake something, put it in animation, continue the story. Like there's lots of franchises that I think would bode well with going to animation for, you know, keeping it in the same universe, but like, going into animation like Star Wars, like Predator, like the vast majority of like Marvel does it, you know, DC. And I think it's awesome. I'm a big fan of just the idea itself. So when I was like, oh, this is like an animated Predator movie, that's going to be really cool if the animation style works. And the animation style works for me. I think it's really well done. I think it looks great. It's not like cookie cutter, you know, typical animation, has like a distinct look to it and a distinct identity to it. And it makes the fights and the action and everything that's revolving around the Yautja, you know, people or not people, the Yautja species, really, really cool. Like it bodes really well with the franchise. Then you add in all the three stories and the fights and gore and all that. I think it's sick. Like I'm a huge fan. I love when studios and franchises do this because animation is really, really cool. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm predisposed in the sense to like animation in general. I think it is just a completely valid genre of storytelling and film mm-hmm. because there are things that you could do in animation that you can't do in live action, right? As good as CGI is, you know, animation is always going to be consistent with itself. Yeah. So you're never going to get pulled out because you're like, oh, that didn't look good for the most part, as long as the animators are doing their job. I mean, and I think, you know, we've seen the proof of concept in that with things like the way that Star Wars has utilized animation with the Clone Wars and Rebels and all those things, to the way in which, you know, somebody finally made an animated comic book movie like the Spider-Verse films, you know, where yeah. it was just, hey, let's bring a comic book to life and make it feel like a comic.
Yeah.
You know, somebody finally did that. And so the idea of doing an animated Predator movie, I think it works in that sense. Like, there's nothing wrong with utilizing animation to tell a story in a universe. I think, you know, like you said, in some ways, more studios should invest in animation. You know, mm-hmm. I'm thankful that Star Wars has continued to do so.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, been some of the best storytelling that Star Wars has to offer. So with this, you know, I think, again, you're right on target in the sense that animation It's a good choice here. And I like that the animation style kind of has almost a, you know, Clone Wars-ish feel to it, mm-hmm. you know, in the kind of the look.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times where I wish that because it's a CGI animation, there's points of it where the surfaces just kind of look too shiny.
Yeah.
Or like almost, yeah, where I wish that it was a little more matte. And so, but otherwise, I mean, I think it works. Like you said, you know, the battles look incredible. Then, you know, the way in which they're, you know, able to do the, you know, gore, but in an animated style, you know, I think all that really works. And so mm-hmm. obviously this is not a movie for kids, but no. it definitely works for this franchise, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of bring to life these type of battles, but in a way that just feels very legitimate for the mm-hmm. franchise and with everything we've seen in the franchise previously.
Right.
You know, so. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah, I agree with you. I would say I agree in the sense that like there's definitely moments that aren't like perfect in terms of like look and feel, but like the general look of it, especially in certain scenes, I think the structure of the movie, the anthology, certain specific like segments look better than I think others do, just given the surrounding nature of where they're at. But all looks good.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you too, because this is a really interesting part of the film is just the structure. And the structure has this anthology nature to it, yet at the same time, the whole point of the anthology nature is actually to converge all of these stories together, then bring the film to a close. Like they're all going to collide, mm-hmm. And then that story is going to bring us to the conclusion of the movie. And so what did you think of that as a way in which to tell the story? How did it work for you? And what did you just think of then bringing them all together and, you know, where we kind of end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I think anthologies in and of themselves are a very neat thing to do in movies. Some of them can work and some of them can be very, very bad. It kind of depends on how well you know, accomplish it. And I think that these worked. I you know, opening with the shield in like 1841 Scandinavia, like that, like Viking, you know, culture, immediately you're drawn in. You're like, this is really cool. Like, and the fight there, I think, is awesome with like the ice and the water and like just like very, very entertaining fight and a very entertaining like 20 minutes. And then like I knew it was an anthology, but then the moment after the fight ends and that kind of story ends, and then it flashes to her like on, you know, this ship, and then you see the next, like the samurai with the sword. I think immediately after the first story, we see the immediate connection, like, oh, this is actually all going to connect at the end. This is a really interesting way to do it. And I think it shows great restraint from like Trachtenberg to be like, I want to tell these cool stories, but let's put it three together and connect it versus like make one movie and of just the shield. You know, I think that's a really cool idea for the franchise specifically, because he's clearly trying to build something out about their culture and all this stuff. And so I think the shield and the sword are my two favorite. The bullet's still good, but it's definitely my least favorite. I think it tells us something really interesting about Yautja's, but I definitely found myself enjoying the shield and the sword the most. And then the ending I thought was fun as well. Where that's very much like a, what do you, that's a very franchise moment where it's like, we're building to something. Where if it was just three stories, I would have enjoyed this probably just as much. And so I wasn't bothered by it connecting. I thought it's nice. It's like he wants to do what he wants to do, to connect these stories and to build out this world. But, I like the ending. I think it's nice. It's a cool fight. And then, yeah, I was very satisfied with how they all connected and each individual story in their own right.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. You know, I think this was an incredibly smart way to do this. And I think the beauty of it is that, you know, you get the opportunity, and this is something that, you know, he did with his Prey film, right? Mm-hmm. Even though I haven't seen it, you know, I know it takes place,
we gotta cover that,
you know, with the Native American culture, correct? And so you were seeing a predator fight in something that, you know, wasn't quote unquote the present day, and mm-hmm. with the you know, so you're seeing the way in which they've adapted to the fights that they have with different cultures, and so you truly get to see that here as well, and the way in which each one of those cultures would then deal with the reality of fighting a predator with what they have on hand. And I thought that was really well done, you know, from, you know, seeing a Viking to seeing the kind of samurai culture to seeing, you know, like World War II. And I think absolutely you also rightly said, you know, the bullet is definitely the weakest of these three. Mm-hmm. And I think it, part of that is just, it's less that warrior against warrior feel, mm-hmm. because the character there really isn't a warrior, right? He's just a, you know, a guy that got drafted to be in the military. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't as, I know there was something about it that just, it felt missing, but it, in some ways I think it's incredibly smart for them to do something different, because otherwise all of these stories would have just felt too similar.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you know, bringing them together, and then having them all have to learn to work together was incredibly interesting. And so I loved that. I thought that that was just a smart way to go with this film. And what I thought was also interesting is that you mentioned too, right? We're building the predator culture. We're building the Yautja culture, because obviously, again, this is something that he is working to do to be set for kind of what we're going to see in Badlands. And obviously, too, I think just the ideas that he might have moving forward with this franchise, since that, you know, they've kind of given him the keys to the kingdom. And so what did you think about the way in which he uses this to help us understand more about what it means to be a predator and how their culture kind of works together?
Yeah, I think it's very good. I think the first thing that we see is like the Yautja like language. I forget what it says. I should look it up. But that's like the first instance, I believe, in the whole franchise where they use the language, like the Yautja language. Of like what it means, like they're kind of describing like their whole goal of hunting and trophies, and like that is like their culture, which we see a lot of obviously in Badlands. He really builds that out with Deck and his father and his brother and all that, like the pride and, you know, what do you have to accomplish to prove yourself. But you get this glimpse of like, okay, they are all hunting to collect trophies of these like warriors essentially. Obviously we see what happens now, what like when one loses, like you are gonna get brought, because you're this mighty warrior, to Yautja Prime, to our planet, to be at like a Coliseum-esque thing, which I think is very, very interesting. It's interesting seeing in the bullet, like the shield and the sword, very typical predator kind of like one-on-one battle. warrior versus warrior. But I think it's really interesting in The Boy where it's they divert from that. So, like, it's not just that. Like, he is this pilot. He's flying. He takes the engine at the very beginning of that. Like, is that his trophy instead of a skull, you know, collecting engines? Like, that's all really interesting to, like, divert our belief about what the culture like fully is. Like, it's a little deeper than I think we fully understand. And then, like, the whole everything on the planet. We'll get to the post-credit scene later, which tells a whole bunch about what they do and, like, warriors and all this stuff. So I think it's really cool the way he's building this out and setting it up. There's like a leader, you know, it's super interesting. I'm just, like, kind of itching for more of this because I'm very fascinated with the world.
Yeah, I loved the idea that, you know, if you are able to kill a predator, then you become somebody worthy of joining the Colosseum at Yautja Prime, and that you then are worthy of going against those that have survived mm-hmm. battles with other races. And, yep. You know, so there's this sense of, like, honor of being brought to Yautja Prime because, mm-hmm. hey, you killed one of us. That makes you a killer of killers. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, you're worthy of our honor and respect to come and battle our best who yep. have survived against, you know, mm-hmm. other races and maybe even against your race at some point, you know. So
right.
I thought that was all really interesting. And I think you were rightly pulling out the idea that, you know, with The Bullet, we actually got to see a different type of Yautja hunter, you know, that it's not just about the kind of mano a mano, but it's about technology against technology. And, you know, so I think all of that was really, really interesting. And it made the movie then a lot of fun because, again, you know, if you're going to keep telling these stories, and this is something that we had talked about with Badlands, you have to find a way to make the Yautja more than just, in some ways, a predator, like, that just keeps repeating the same type of things over and over again, because, yeah, we just get bored with that, right? Yeah. There's, you know, there's only so many times that you can tell that type of story, and I think that's one of the things here is this clearly was helping us see that Trachtenberg has ideas of how to make this a more fully rounded society without necessarily undercutting what they are in general, right? And mm-hmm. and that's a tightrope that is incredibly difficult to walk, you know, when you're trying to add something to a franchise that, you know, people have really enjoyed mm-hmm. for a long time. And your goal then is not to ruin what came before, but maybe to add more nuance to that allows people to kind of you know, see things from a different perspective without destroying what came previously as well. And again, that's just an incredibly difficult thing to actually accomplish. And so,
yeah,
I thought, you know, again, this is one of those places where it does feel like the people behind the Predator franchise here are working really diligently to help us not only enjoy what came before, but give us a reason to enjoy what they're doing next.
Yeah, I think that making like you said, like making the Yautja species, not just these like random encounters and like just like a, like they just keep coming because this is, we're just making movies that make money. Like, it does get boring. Like, sure, I'll watch it. Sure, I'll probably like it because it's a fun action movie. But, like, it's much cooler that, like, they have, like, a people group with culture and, like, honor systems and the, you know, all this. I looked up what the Yautja Codex said at the very beginning. It's like, go forth among the stars, seek only the strongest prey. They shall be your trophy. Become the killer of killers. Like, that's cool. That is like a cool species. And like, their whole purpose in life is to become this killer of killers, to take the trophy. That's so awesome. I really like that. Like, that makes the franchise more interesting. It makes historically the rest of the movies. I've only seen Predator 1 and Predator 2 of those, and then Badlands Prey in this. Like, it makes it so much more enjoyable. I'm so much more invested in it. I actually want these movies to come out versus like, instead being like, it's April and, you know, you see a trailer, oh, new Predator movie, that'll be fun. But like, when are they going to make a new one? I want to hear and see more of this story and this world that is being built. Disney giving the keys to Trachtenberg to do that, I think is honestly, like, you know, we could say what we want about how Disney does things wrong, but man, that's such a cool, like, yeah, man, I think you get it. Do what you want with the franchise. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think that's really needs to be committed on Disney's part.
I think you're absolutely right on that front. And I think another important aspect to that is, you know, it does come down to finding the people who truly understand a franchise, but also how to continue to make it relevant is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And there are obviously better people at that than others in different franchises, you know, and some can really make it work and some don't. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Trachtenberg obviously is one of those guys who has found his way into understanding a franchise and how to continue to make it relevant and interesting instead of making it stagnant, right? Yeah. By just rebooting it or trying to do, I mean, gosh, I couldn't have been angrier when I saw the other day that they're going to make another Planet of the Apes movie, but it's not going to follow off of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Which and it's so like, come on, you guys are stupid. Anyway.
That movie's awesome.
So this movie really is about, you know, coming together. You know, come together. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and this is kind of like we're talking about this. This movie has been setting the stage about where Trachtenberg is going to go in Badlands, right? I mean, that it's not about this expressive and rugged individualism. It's actually about coming together. That if you can come across boundaries, you can do together what you can't do separately, which is mm-hmm. what all of these characters, you know, end up doing from the shield, the sword, and the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
They find a way to bridge, you know, language barrier and all of these other barriers of just time in general mm-hmm. to work together to survive. And I really, really liked that. And I was really, really kind of actually shocked by, oh my gosh, it was just so clear that this guy had a vision for where he's going with this franchise and mm-hmm. and how this was actually going to accentuate what's going to happen in the next film mm-hmm. while at the same time utilizing it for the benefit of what he's doing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell that he's like got his finger on the pulse in terms of like the franchise stuff. Like he's adding lore like nobody's business. But then like his thematic elements, there's a through line through a lot of them. And yeah, I think it was really fun to watch them literally, like you said, come together. Because you see Ursa, the Viking, where she's hell-bent on revenge and hell-bent on, you know, killing because of her son. And she wants to kill the, you know, the bullet guy and the samurai guy, the pilot and samurai guy. And I loved how as she's trying to kill the pilot, that the samurai, like, realizes what they have to do, like, together to, like, what's the point in killing each other? They're gonna, you know, they're trying to get off this planet. And I think it was really, really well done having them team up. I think that the choice to as she's looking at the pilot and she sees her son, is what kind of flips it for her to work together. I think that's really cool. I think it makes sense. And then obviously her ending is pretty awesome. The way she sacrifices herself to a certain extent to save the other two and fly them away. I really like that they can't talk to each other. They're from completely different time periods, and yet they have to figure out a way to work together, because working together ultimately will be more beneficial for them. They'll be stronger together, able to fight these monsters, these predators. It's very cool. Trachtenberg, the more every time I watch one of his movies in this franchise, I'm like, gosh, this guy gets it. So I like that it's not just about the franchise, but there's thematic elements that are constantly coming up that are very evident in a way that's not preachy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think the beauty of the way in which, and we talked about this, you know, the structure, right? The structure is this anthology that gets smashed together then. And mm-hmm. the beauty of the way that happens is that actually what happened in the three separate stories actually works together to bring these characters together, yeah. right? You know, the only reason that this happens is that, you know, our characters of you know, Kenji and Torres from The Bullet and the Sword are more predisposed to work together, especially because of Kenji's experience, right? His defeat of the Predator in his time mm-hmm. was because he and his brother found a way to work together, even though they had been on opposite sides their entire life, right? Yeah. And so those two characters are actually then able to bring that into the arena and help Ursa realize that, no, it's not about fighting one another. It's about working together so we can get out of here. And I think the beauty of that then becomes is that you have the most unlikely of those characters to be willing to sacrifice herself mm-hmm. for the other two to get away. And part of that is because there's this a familial element that comes into play where, you know, she lost her son to a Yautja, and she then begins to see these two guys who are willing to sacrifice themselves for her mm-hmm. as, you know, her sons. And you know, there's just really something beautiful about that, because I think, you know, again, to be able to see a thematic element of being able to put aside our differences and to come together as a group that sees our similarities, our common humanity, mm-hmm. and the need of one another for survival is something that is really interesting. You know, it's probably not something you would expect to come out of, you know, a Predator animated movie, but I yeah. think there is something really beautiful that can help us see that, you know, even across time and space, right?
yeah.
Maybe we're not as different as we all think we are, and what would benefit us greatly is if we took the time to see one another as human beings first and foremost.
Totally.
And there's something really cool about that. And I think it makes the movie have more of a meaning than less because that's there.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I think, like you said it perfectly, it's not what you would expect coming into a animated first ever Disney rated R, you know, anthology Predator movie. You could so easily just make it very just action, kill the killer, you know, hoorah, this is very fun to watch. But adding some thematic depth to it makes these movies even more enjoyable for me and clearly for you as well. So it's great.
What it obviously this movie has a post-credit sequence mm-hmm. There that is a fun stinger,
yeah,
for everybody who had seen Prey, and so wanted to ask you what you thought of realizing that character is now in the vault.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that because it pans from her to then Carl Weathers' character in Predator 2, and then to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Which is just like, it's cool because Arnold is 80 some years old, but you know what he could do? He could lend his voice for another movie, you know?
Yep.
And so taking them from live action and being like, they are here too in animation, I'm like, it sets up, like, I don't know where they're going to go. You know, you see this hall of all these warriors clearly throughout time that they've like, yeah, that have killed Predator Yautja and that they've now brought here. I'm like, I want that movie. Explain to me that. Explain, like, I get that they do it because it's, they killed a predator and, they have this honor now and they're a mighty warrior. So they bring him there. But like, I want to get Arnold back in the booth. Let him do some voice work. Prey is my favorite Predator movie, so like I just want to see that character again, because she's awesome. So I just think it's like a fun thing, and the fact that they are able to do it is it's cool. It continues to open up lore and culture and all this stuff that for future movies I think will be a lot of fun. And I think it's brilliant to bring back characters in animation, knowing that they can't act in the same way anymore. So it's fun.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, you know, that's incredibly smart. I think, you know, the saddest part about that is, you know, Carl Weathers has passed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he would not be able to be a part of that.
Right.
You know, I think what you're saying makes it very clear that if you do want to do this, probably one of the most important things you need to do is you need to do it quickly, because, you know, Arnold seems incredibly healthy, but, you know, life is fleeting in that sense, and who knows what's going to happen, right? So if you want to utilize him in that way, you probably should make it happen sooner rather than later. And so, no, I thought that was really cool. And it did make me want to go back, and we will definitely cover, Prey at some point here. I'm looking forward to actually going and getting a chance to watch it now. It's been on the list, which is one of those things with all the stuff, you know, it's so hard to find the time. And so, and in all honesty, with my podcasting schedule stuff, I've had so much I've just been watching recently anyway, with like getting ready for The Mandalorian coming out over an aggressive negotiation. So we've been watching through seasons 2 and 3 since we haven't covered those yet. And like other stuff with the network with Chris, and it's just like, and then this show, and oh man, anyway, and then this, just the stuff I watch with my wife when we're, you know, together. Anyway, yeah,
totally.
All that to say, I'm really interested to hear what you are going to end up rating Predator Killer of Killers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my rating has been the same since the first time I watched it. This is my third time watching, and it's staying at the same. I'm just giving it a 4 out of 5, 8 out of 10. We've talked about this. Like, I love this movie. Why is it not a 4.5 or 5? I don't know. It's kind of just a vibes thing. I love the three stories. I like it coming together. I like the lore. It's a good movie. I have a blast watching it. I'll probably watch it every couple of years for the rest of my life.
That's awesome, man. For me, I think this is 3.5 out of 5. I think a very solid rating. It's
totally
really enjoyable. I liked it more than I thought I would. And in fact, even just with our conversation, it's one of those things where it really solidified where it is for me. Mm-hmm. I think it is one of those things. It's like hour 25, you know, but really short, like an hour and 20 minutes. So it's just one of those great things where if I'm just kind of wanting action and a fun story, mm-hmm, I can put this on and really enjoy it. So definitely encourage people to go check it out.
Totally.
But Rye, if people wanted to catch up with you, see what else you're watching, what else you got going on, where should they look?
Yeah, so I actually made it a little bit easier. I changed all my handles on Instagram and Letterboxd, so it'd be the same. So over on Letterboxd and Instagram, you can follow me at Rye Talks Movies. Both of those are the places that I'll be posting and reviewing things that I've been watching, ranking different things. And then I'm working on starting a new show here pretty soon, so stay tuned for that.
That's great, man. Of course, you can find me all over social media under the name MattRushing02. So if I'm on the platform, that's my name. Of course, outside the 602 Club, as I mentioned, all the great Trek Talk with Chris Jones as we are going through our anniversary rewatches and stuff. And then, of course, Strange New Worlds is going to be beginning again here in the summer. So we'll bring back Saddle Up. And then overall on the Nerd Party Network, you find two shows. One's called Outposts with Dre Kaufman. We talked about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series, one chapter at a time. And Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills as we're talking Star Wars each and every week. So please check all those out. But thank you so much for joining us.
And y'all come back now here. Thank you.